Hey, everybody, this is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Did you give the code red? Did you give the code red?
Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the difference between IBR, income-based repayment, and PER. So last week, you guys, we talked about PSLF and everything going on there, which is so cool. So make sure to go back and check that podcast out. Now, the two main programs that we talked about that are best fit for many physicians have been income-based repayment and pay-as-you-earn, PER or payee, as many people refer them to. Now, you guys, basically at the end of the day, they all accomplish the same goal, right? Which is minimizing your student debt payments while you're in residency and fellowship, and then paying back your student loans at a higher rate with more money once you're making more dough. Now, here's what's interesting. Both of these things require a partial financial hardship, which basically means they want to know, in comparing your student loan compared to the 10-year standard repayment, is it lower or higher than IBR or PER? And basically what they do, you guys, they take a look at discretionary income guidelines. So what are the poverty guidelines that are published by the government? IBR is 15% of that discretionary income that the government defines, whereas PER is only 10%. Now, how do they know what to charge you? How do they determine your income? Are they going to be looking at your student loans? Are they going to be looking at how much of a car loan you have? Are they going to be looking at your kids? Are they going to be looking at your budget? And the answer is no, they're not going to look at your budget. They're going to look at your tax return. So everything on your tax return is so important, you guys. So if you truly want to go for debt forgiveness, if you want to minimize your payments, whether you're on IBR or PER, the best thing you can do is to lower your taxable income, because they're taking a snapshot of your income after pre-tax deductions for your 401k or 403b, after pre-tax deductions for health savings accounts, and after deductions for any active business losses or capital losses or any of that stuff. Now, also, you guys, this means that if you ended your residency or fellowship in June and you started your first contract in July, you would likely not have to start making higher payments until the following year. So, for example, let's say you finished your residency in June of 2016. Your higher payments aren't going to take effect more than likely until January of 2017, more likely April or May or June. It all depends on when you first signed up. Now, take into consideration that these payments, they don't look at your overall debt load. They don't really look at your age, your mortgage, your car loan, none of that stuff. And this gets really interesting when you look at the bigger debt load picture. Now, I put in my workbook, 5 Steps to Get Out of Debt for Physicians, as well as in my main book, The Freedom Formula for Physicians, a table that I wanted to walk you guys through. Now, what I did in this table, I said that this person is married. I said that they have no kids. I said that they have no spousal school loans, that their original loans were $20,000 to $30,000 below the current loan amount, and that the interest rate was 6.8%. Sound familiar, right? And while you could easily qualify for IBR while in residency, what's interesting is as you bump up your comp, the calculator on the website doesn't allow me to calculate a payment for a $200,000 income level with IBR. It says it doesn't qualify. Well, what's interesting, because remember that they don't look at your loan amounts in terms of determining your payment. They only look at your compensation. So for example, at $150,000 comp, $150,000 loan, with IBR, you're paying close to $1,600 a month. With PER, you're paying close to $1,000 a month. Okay? So that's $150,000 compensation, $150,000 loan amount. Now, let's take a look at another example. $150,000 loan amount. I'm sorry, $150,000 compensation, same compensation. Compensation doesn't change. The loan amount is $250,000. Now your loan isn't $150,000, it's $250,000. Your payment doesn't change. It's the same exact thing because your comp doesn't change. So that $1,600 a month is still the same with IBR. Your $1,000 a month is still the same with PER. Now, what if your compensation does jump? You move from $150,000 to $200,000. Well, we can guess under IBR that that's going to be $2,200 a month because that's what happens at $250,000 loan, which still allowed me to do it in the calculator, whereas PER is a slightly less than $1,500 a month. So can you see this, you guys? This huge difference between IBR and PER, it's nearly $600 a month when you're making $150,000. And it's almost $700 a month when you're at the $200,000 compensation level. Can you imagine that? Can you see how IBR and PER, it doesn't change as the loan amount goes up? And remember, this is all because it's primarily dependent on income. Now, there was one big caveat here, which is becoming less and less of a deal. To originally have qualified for PER, you could not have any current student debt that originated before 2007. However, with repay, which is something we're going to talk about in a further podcast, this is changing, you guys. This is something that you're going to have to pay very close attention to. But anyhow, let me just talk about the way things have been, and we'll discuss the future here in another podcast. Okay, so what does all of this have to do with loan forgiveness programs? So let's take a look at an example where we have two physicians, Dr. Jones and Dr. Smith. And both of these guys, they started PSLF at the very start of residency. So they had an equal amount of debt coming out of med school. Well, let's say Dr. Smith, he's in residency for 3 years. So he's made 36 payments towards PSLF. He went right into practice. He's making $150,000 a year. Meanwhile, Dr. Jones has also been in residency for 3 years. He's also made 36 payments towards PSLF, and he's also just entered into practice, and he's making $200,000 a year. Well, let's examine the difference, you guys, of what would happen if each of them enrolled in IBR or PER at the start of residency. So here's what would happen. With Dr. Smith making $150,000, if he was in PER, he would be making lifetime payments of $133,000 for the rest of his career, for the remaining 7 years. Whereas PER is only about $90,000, $40,000 difference. Now, meanwhile, Dr. Jones, who's making $200,000 a year, his lifetime payments under IBR is $186,000, with PER $124,000. So can you see how the more and more you make, the bigger and bigger the difference between the two? And obviously, the larger and larger your loan, can you imagine the difference? At 7% interest rate on $300,000, you are compounding more and more interest, especially as a resident. So it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. So just to give you an example, $250,000 of loans, $150,000 of compensation, you would have paid that $90,000 in PER. But that's not all principal. A big chunk of that is interest. So you would approximately have $225,000 worth of the forgiveness with IBR versus $265,000 with PER. So can you see the power of that, you guys? That's why PER is superior to IBR. And again, going through the same example, where you have this same interest rate, you're paying that $1,700 a month. Over 7 years, you might have paid $124,000. And you'd have debt forgiveness of at least $250,000. Now, if you consider, guys, that right now this is tax-free, $250,000 of debt forgiveness is worth at least $360,000. So if you have to weigh one opportunity versus the other, you know, you might have to look at $100,000 worth of compensation spread out over a few years. So even with IBR, you guys, you can still have a huge amount of debt forgiveness. But PER is definitely better. So here's my guideline. Here's what I want you to think about. Is if you aren't sure if you want to go into private practice or if you want to work for a hospital for the rest of your career, what I'd like you to do is to enroll at a minimum in IBR. Or possibly just go ahead and refinance your debts through one of the private lenders that we often talk about, DRB and Link Capital and those guys. Now, meanwhile, if you know you want to work for a big public hospital, you don't want to have to deal with private practice, absolutely go for PER because it is going to be that much larger of a debt forgiveness for you. So definitely consider that. And I'd like to hear from you guys. Are you looking at a debt forgiveness program? What are you weighing as considerations? Are you signed up for IBR or PER? Or did you refinance your debts? Why? So definitely make a comment. Send me an email at dave@daviddeniston.com. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And as I mentioned, things are changing here with these programs. We're going to talk about Repay, a new version of PER here in the future. But anyhow, thank you so much for listening. My name is Dave Denniston. Feel free to reach out anytime. Have a good one. Hey, this is Dave Denniston. I hope you liked today's episode. If you did, hey, please do me a favor and go into iTunes and give this a 5-star review. We have to get those reviews on up so more people can discover how to slash their debt and their taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. As a matter of fact, each month I'm giving out a prize package to one of our reviewers for the month. So make sure to go to iTunes right now and place your review. Thanks so much, and I'll talk to you next time.